If you have a copy of God's Word with you this evening, could you please turn to Mark's Gospel, the Gospel of Mark, and the chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and we're going to commence our reading at the verse 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and the verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered him, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave him leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told him how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And they looked around to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen. And the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Amen. Before we consider this passage of Scripture before us this evening, can we please seek the Lord's face in prayer for his help? Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, again we come into thy presence this evening, And Lord, we acknowledge before Thee tonight that we are poor and needy. We realize, Lord, that without Thee we can do nothing. And we cry unto Thee, our Father, You'll draw strangely near in our service this evening. Lord, Thou knowest those that are gathered out without Thee. Those that have never accepted Thee as their own and personal Savior, I cry, our Father, that You'll speak to them tonight. You'll convict them of their sin. Bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Continue with us now, we pray. Undertake for everything that will be said and done, that will be to Thy honor and to Thy glory. We ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen. The passage of Scripture which we have just read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, brings before us three outstanding examples of God's power. In the opening verses of Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, we have the healing of the madman of Gadara. This man who had lived in tombs all his life, this man who was so violent that he could not be bound with chains, he was crying and cutting himself with stones, and yet one word from Christ, and he was gloriously freed and gloriously healed. This man who many thought was a hopeless case, we find in the verse 15 of this chapter, he's sitting, he's clothed, and he is in his right mind. Surely this is evidence to us tonight of what Christ can do. It shows the power of Christ over the devil. Then we're introduced to the second story in this passage of Scripture, that of Jairus and his daughter. Here we have a little girl seriously ill, near to death, and so Jairus comes and he begs that the Lord would come and heal her. But yet, whilst the Lord is dealing with another individual, the message comes and says, Jairus, your daughter's dead. But yet, as we discover, one word from the Master, and she's brought back to life again, that shows us the power of Christ over death. The third individual that we've read of tonight is the woman with the issue of blood. She comes in desperation. She had tried everything, nothing had worked, no success for her, and yet we find when she meets with the Savior, her disease is cured, she's completely healed. It shows for us tonight the power of Christ over disease. What a wonderful Savior we have, therefore. And as we read through this passage of Scripture, we can't help but see a wonderful picture of the Gospel. How man that is bound by sin can be set gloriously free. How a prisoner is set free. The devil has been defeated. Christ rose from the dead and he defeated death. And now he lives in the power of an endless life. For a few moments this evening, I want us to look at one individual in this passage of Scripture, the woman with the issue of blood. The Lord had just returned from the land of the Gadarenes. We understand as we read here how he'd healed that man. But yet after performing such a wonderful miracle, we discover that the people of that land had no interest in the Savior at all. Those evil spirits that had been within that man had been put into the swine, and the swine had run violently down a steep place and had been killed. But such was their indignation at the Lord performing this miracle that we find that they come to the Lord in the verse 17 and they begin to pray Him to depart out of their coasts. You see, these people in the land of the Gadarenes were more concerned with their animals and with their livelihood than with anything that the Lord had to say to them. It's very interesting to notice, of course, that the Lord doesn't argue with them. The Lord doesn't debate with them. He doesn't try and reason with them as to why he should remain. He simply does as they request, and he makes his way out of their country. But you know, the sad thing is this. These people in the land of the Gadarenes had had their final opportunity to meet with the Savior, and they didn't realize it. And you know, as I thought of that, for a moment, it made me realize that there are so many people listening to the gospel message, and it could be applying to someone in our meeting tonight. And this might be your final opportunity of hearing of your need of Christ as Savior. These people were willing to let Christ go and go for the final time. And I fear that there may be someone in our meeting tonight, and that's going to be your response to the gospel as you hear it tonight. You'll reject him, but perhaps for the final time. And as we read down through the chapter here in Mark's gospel, we discover that the Lord is making his way out of the land of the Gadarenes across the Sea of Galilee, and he's now on dry land. And as you can imagine, this wonderful miracle that had taken place with this man, this madman of Gadara, word had spread far and near. They wanted to tell everyone of what the Lord had done in this man's life. And as Christ was making his way across the sea on the boat, I'm sure there were other boats rushing ahead, trying to spread the news far and wide of the wonderful miracle that had taken place. When Christ makes his way onto the seashore, he's met by a multitude of different people. There were those there, of course, curious about this man, Jesus, this miracle worker, wondering who he was and what he could do. There were others there, of course, after hearing what a wonderful miracle had taken place. They were bringing their sick relatives. They were bringing their friends, that if only they could meet with this man, Jesus, they too could be healed from the disease that they had. People pushing and shoving in the crowd, each with their own agenda, each with their reason for meeting with Christ. But yet in the crowd that day, there was one individual. There was a woman. She didn't have very much strength. She was incredibly sick and very ill. And as the crowd in its throng was pushing to meet with the Savior, she found it very difficult to push her way through that crowd. The illness that she had made her so weak in fact she could hardly walk, but yet somehow she was determined, come what may, she would meet with Christ today. You may be here in the service tonight, and there may be different reasons why you're here. You might be here to please a family member or a friend. You might be here out of curiosity because the speaker is different and you're curious to see what he's like. But make no mistake about it tonight. You are here and there's a reason for your being here. It's no accident. The Lord has planned it so. And you're here in this service tonight that you might hear the wonderful news of our Lord and Savior. And he died on the cross to save you from your sin. And so very simply tonight, there are three simple thoughts that I want to leave with you in relation to this woman with the issue of blood. Notice first of all with me then her disease. We're introduced to her in Mark's Gospel chapter 25, and in the verse 24 we find that she has an issue of blood 12 years. Notice with me her problem. We're told that she had an issue of blood, which meant that she was hemorrhaging or she was bleeding from some part of her body. The word issue here means a flowing of blood. And so whatever had caused this internal hemorrhaging, this was a very sick woman indeed. In fact, it's not wrong to say she was dying a very slow death as a result of the illness that she had. We discover that for 12 long years, this woman had been dying this slow death because of the issue of blood in her body. And instead of getting better, she was getting progressively worse. To her, her situation seemed almost hopeless. And you know, as I thought of this woman with the issue of blood, with the effect that it was having on her body, it reminded me that here is a picture of a sinner. Born with that terrible, that fatal disease of sin. And just like this disease was bringing death to this woman, so sin brings not only physical, but spiritual death to the sinner. Because you see, sin always takes you further than you want to go. And the result, the end result of sin is death, because the wages of sin are death. And just as this woman was becoming weaker and weaker as a result of her disease, so it is with the sinner. Born in sin, shaping in iniquity, and the older they get, sin gets such a grip on their life, they're no longer able to fight against it. Yes, there may have been that point in time when the devil was attacking and encouraging you to get involved in sin and you were able to resist it, but now it's got such a grip, it's got such a hold of your life that it's literally destroying you. Sin has ruined your life. This woman here had a problem, but notice also her pain. This condition that this woman had rendered her an outcast in society. No one wanted anything to do with her. According to the Levitical law, she was considered unclean. We discover in Leviticus 15 and 25 that if a woman have an issue of blood, many days out of the time of her separation, she shall be unclean. And so the law of the land stated that this woman, because of the condition that she had, she was unclean, and as such she could have nothing to do with anyone. Doesn't that paint a picture for us of the sinner in their sin? Unclean before a holy God. All our righteousnesses are what? They're as filthy rags in His sight. And this woman, because of her condition, she had suffered many things. She had suffered physically. From the very condition that this woman had in her own body, she would have had little or no energy to be able to fight against it. The slightest effort would have rendered her completely exhausted. And she had tried all the remedies that the doctor had to offer for the condition that she had, but she was suffering physically. She was suffering socially as well because she was outside the normal social circles. There was no invites to weddings or to birthday parties or to dinner. No, this was an extremely lonely life that this woman led. She was suffering physically. She was suffering socially, but here was a woman that suffered emotionally. Can you imagine what it must have been like for this woman with this disease? For 12 long years, she had suffered with it. And every so often, someone would recommend a cure for the problem that she had, only to find after a month or two of trying it that instead of improving her condition, it made her worse. And time after time after time over those 12 years, she would have suffered emotionally, finally thinking she'd found the cure, only to have her hopes dashed within a moment. Oh, this woman had suffered many things physically, socially, emotionally, but she'd also suffered financially because we discover in the verse 26 that she had spent all that she had, but rather grew worse. You know, here was a woman that suffered much, but you know, man and woman endure pain because of their sin. Sin has its consequences, and its consequences are separation from God. Isaiah 59 in the verse 2 tells us, "But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that you will not hear." Maybe you're in the meeting tonight, and as you've listened to the description that this woman had, the disease that she had, and the problems that she suffered, the pain that she endured because of her disease, perhaps you've seen the parallel in your own life. Because of the grip that sin has had on your life, you can identify with suffering physically or socially or emotionally or financially because of the grip that sin has had on your life. And maybe tonight finds you in a position sitting, feeling lost and alone, ready to give up hope completely. But can I tell you tonight there is hope? There is hope in Christ, for Christ tells us in His Word, "Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." Yes, this woman's pain, but notice also with me her prospects. She had nothing. She had tried all that she could. She had gone to all the doctors, all the physicians of the day in order to be able to find a cure for this disease. But she was right now at the point of giving up. You know, this woman paints a clear picture of every person that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. You see, the sinner is defiled by a blood disease. It's one that's been inherited from Adam. We're reminded of the words in Romans 5 and 12, "Whereof, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men." Why? Because all have sinned. The condition of this woman was made no different. despite all the remedies that she'd tried. She'd gone to all the doctors of the day, somehow hoping that she'd find a cure for the disease that she had, but still she had no satisfaction. And we discover as she comes to try and meet with Christ that her condition was getting gradually worse. Just as this woman sought the opinion of many doctors, it reminded me of the sinner in his state of sin. Under conviction of sin, perhaps he seeks to find some remedy for this problem that he knows he has. He is aware that there's sin in his life, and he tries to find some way of remedying the situation. But of course, the devil is never going to allow a sinner out of his grasp without a fight. And so you find that in a sense, the devil becomes a doctor. And he comes as a spiritual psychiatrist. And here's this sinner under conviction of sin, and his remedy for the disease that he will offer the sinner is simply to reassure them that it's all in the mind. There's nothing really to worry about. Yes, you know about this thing called sin, but that's really nothing to get concerned about. Yes, there's so-called a place of hell. That place doesn't exist. And even if it did, isn't God a God of love? And as a result, he would never put you there. And so the devil, seeing this sinner under conviction of sin, prescribed for them a stress-free life. They're not to worry about such matters. They're not to concern themselves with matters of life and death, of eternity, of hell. Rather, they are to enjoy their life as best they can. And how many countless sinners have listened to the advice of the spiritual psychiatrist, have heeded that warning, not heeded the warning, listened to it, and enjoyed, as it were, the stress-free life. Then, of course, you have the spiritual dietitian. And the remedy for the sinner under conviction of sin is rather to take things in moderation. Try all that the world has to offer in order to try and relieve the symptoms of sin in your life. Something that will deaden the pain. Something that will make the patient forget about the problems that they have. But you see, neither of these occasions will the devil ever allow that sinner, that patient, to realize that they're in any danger. The devil will never allow the subject of death to arise in his prognosis. You see, in the medical world, when these so-called doctors prescribe a cure, it often makes the patient worse and not better. And so it is in the spiritual sense. We have the sinner listening to the lies of the devil, following his method of treatment, not to worry about the problems and the difficulties that sin presents. And so the sinner continues to grow weaker, falling deeper and further into sin, heading towards the devil's ultimate goal, which is an eternity in hell with him. How sad it would be if there's someone in our meeting tonight and you've been listening to the lie of the devil for many a year. Maybe he has tried to convince you that there's nothing to worry about. The place of hell doesn't exist. God's a God of love. Yes, he is. But I have to remind you tonight that he's a just God and he cannot allow sin into heaven. Here's a woman with a great disease. She is dying because of it and she longs to meet with the Savior. But notice secondly with me, not only her disease, but notice her desire. Because when you find that when she hears of Christ, in the verse 27, she comes in the press behind. She touches his garment, for she says, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." This woman had tried all that the world had to offer. All the solutions that the doctors had presented to her, nothing had worked. But when she heard of Christ, she knew the difference that he had made in the madman of Gadara, and she knew if she could only meet with the Savior, her situation would be resolved, her disease would be healed. But yet I detect an element of doubt in her voice. Because did you notice what she says in the verse 27? If I may touch but his clothes. And you know, as I thought of that, it reminded me that there were many things that could have prevented this woman from coming to the Savior. Her condition was one of them. Remember, here she was, a very sick, a very weak woman, and in her condition she would have found it extremely difficult to make much progress in this crowd. Added to that, as we've noticed already, she was an outcast. No one wanted anything to do with her, and so in that condition it would have been understandable, perhaps, had she given up entirely. But no, this woman is determined that she will meet with Christ today. Nothing was going to stop her from meeting with the Savior. And so whatever it took, she made her way through the crowd so that she could see the Savior directly in front of her. I wonder, does that describe you, sinner, in the meeting tonight? You have sat under the sound of the gospel for many years. The Reverend Higgins and ministers before him have preached forth the gospel to you week by week, and you are well aware of your condition. You're well aware tonight that if you continue in your sin, a death sentence hangs over you. But yet somehow tonight you're sitting in our service listening to the gospel being preached forth, and your answer is, I could never give up my sin. My condition is so great, so severe, sin has got such a terrible hold on my life that I could never be saved. There's no hope for me. What a terrible place to be in, to be so close to the remedy and yet to miss out, because God has said in His Word, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. In other words, there are no conditions attached. All you have to do is come. And Christ has promised in His Word, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Oh, this woman could have allowed the condition, and her condition could have stopped her, but she was determined to meet with Christ. She could have allowed the crowd to stop her. As we've noted already, there were many people around the Savior. They could have prevented her from meeting with Christ. She could have seen the multitude of people stretched down in front of her and said, there's no possible way I'll ever be able to get through the crowd to meet with Christ tonight. So you know what? I'm just going to leave it. And maybe some other day I'll be able to meet with the Savior when there isn't anyone else around. And I'll be able to talk with Him then. And I'll be able to get my disease sorted and under control and healed forever. But not today. I wonder, is that what's stopping you from coming to Christ tonight, sinner? Is it the crowds? Is it the fact your friends and your family? Is it the reaction that you would get tonight if you came to Christ and trusted Him as your Savior, and then you had to tell those around you, both in your family and your friends, that you'd come to Christ? Oh, the ridicule you'd face, and somehow for you that's a justifiable reason for not coming to Christ. How sad it would be to allow the crowd from stopping you from meeting with the Savior tonight. But this woman wasn't going to allow her condition to stop her. She wasn't going to allow the crowd to stop her. She wasn't going to allow the convention to stop her. She was socially an outcast. She was unclean. That wasn't going to stop her in any shape or form. I wonder, maybe is that what's stopping you from coming to Christ tonight? It's the social aspect of it. The people that you hang around with, the circle that you are involved in your work or in your school or whatever it is, and the fact of coming to Christ, well, that wouldn't be sociably acceptable. And therefore, as a result, I'll not come to Christ tonight. This woman came to the Savior despite all these things that could have stopped her. Nothing was going to stop her from meeting with Christ tonight. I wonder in the meeting tonight, are you going to allow your condition of sin? Are you going to allow the crowds and your friends and family to stop you from coming to the Savior? I want you to notice very finally with me her deliverance. For we discover in Mark 5:29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from the plague. Notice this woman came timidly. She came in fear. She realized what would happen if she was discovered by the crowd around her. And so she comes quietly and slowly up behind the Savior, and timidly she reaches out that hand, and with a trembling hand she touches the hem of his garment. You know, commentators believe that it was in fact a prayer shawl of the Savior that this woman had touched, something that was worn by the Jews at that time. And according to the Old Testament law, the prayer shawl should have been made with a certain blue dye, but the dye was so expensive that it was very hard for the people of that day to be able to make their prayer shawl of it entirely, and so they were permitted to have one blue thread in their prayer shawl. So you can imagine, therefore, it was a very expensive piece of garment, and no one was allowed to touch it apart from a family member. And yet here we have a complete stranger coming up to the Savior and touching his prayer shawl. Something that was forbidden. Ah, but did you notice the first words of the Savior to her when he met her? His first words in the verse 34, daughter. You see, as far as the Lord was concerned, this woman had every right to come to him, had every right to touch the hem of his garment. He was saying to her, there is no need to be afraid. You are part of my family. What a wonderful picture that is. Here we have a woman fearful and afraid. But because she reached out with a hand of faith and touched the Savior, she became part of his family. So it is for the sinner. Christ implores you tonight to come to him. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Yes, this woman came timidly, but notice she was healed immediately. The doctors had tried for many a year to be able to heal her of the disease that she had. They couldn't find a cure. They were unable to heal her, but what the doctors had tried to do for years, Christ healed in an instant. And sinner, you're in the meeting tonight, and maybe you've felt that longing and that desire for satisfaction, and you've tried everything that the world has to offer. And tonight, if you're honest, you're in the meeting tonight, you're still longing to find that source of satisfaction. My friend, I can tell you tonight, it's in Christ. And what you've been searching for in years, Christ can provide in an instant the satisfaction and the longing that you need. This woman was healed immediately, but something else. This woman was changed noticeably. You see, she knew something had happened. The change was evident not only to her, but to everyone else around her. Suddenly, this woman that could hardly stand, that was so weak, that was so tired, that was so helpless, when she met with Christ, suddenly she was able to stand up. Her body was strong once again, and she was able to continue on in her life. Just as it is the case when you meet with Christ, the change is evident. Everyone else around you can see that something has become different in your life, and it's evident to others around you. Yes, this woman had changed noticeably, but further, this woman was cured completely. Because Christ went to the heart of the problem. You see, that's exactly what was wrong with this woman, the issue of blood in her body. Christ doesn't play around with the symptoms, no, he goes directly to the problem and he cures it completely. But notice also, this woman was cleansed individually. She was the only one healed that day. I wonder what would have happened if she had stood back and waited for someone else to meet with Christ. I'll come to the Savior, but only if that person comes. I will meet with Christ today, but only if he comes. And if she had stood back and waited until someone else had come first, she would have missed her opportunity with the Savior. Maybe you're here tonight and you know you need to come to Christ, but in your own mind it's, well, if someone else comes first, then I'll make the approach to you and I'll come to Christ, but not until then. Sinner in the meeting tonight, don't let that put you off coming to the Savior. The opportunity for you to come is now. You know, I'm reminded of Felix as he listened to the message of the gospel being preached to him by the Apostle Paul. And there he was reminded of his sin. The Apostle Paul highlighted to him all that was wrong in his life, but yet his response was simply this: when I have a more convenient season, I will call on thee. For him, the time wasn't quite right. Somewhere down the line, yes, I'll consider coming to the Savior, but not just yet. We find that he never had that convenient season again. For him, the convenient season was there and then, and yet he rejected Christ for the final time. How sad it would be for someone in our service tonight to have had the wonderful opportunity of hearing of the gospel of saving grace, and yet to leave our service tonight rejecting him for the final time. I close with the story of an incident that took place in one of the world wars. A Christian doctor was speaking to his patient who had been mortally wounded in battle. And he saw from his patient's expression and from the observations that he was watching that they hadn't long left. Time was almost up. He then left for a few moments to attend to other patients, and the nurse suddenly noticed that this individual was bleeding quite badly and their life was almost over. And she quickly called the doctor over, and he put his finger on that part of the vein where the blood was coming out, and he held on to it, and he pleaded with that individual that they would come to Christ. He told them of their need of a Savior, and I was struck very much by the words that he issued to that person. He said to them, "Soon I'm going to have to let you go." That was holding that person to this life, but it all was only so brief. And in a moment, they were going to be ushered out into God's eternity. "You know, soon I'm going to have to let you go from this service this evening. And yet I fear that there might be someone in our meeting tonight and you're going to reject the Savior." That free offer of grace in the gospel has been presented to you, yes, in the stammering and the stuttering words of man. But yet you're going to reject my wonderful Savior. Don't let that happen tonight. Don't leave this service rejecting him. Come to him, because now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening.